Time now for your comments. No other story evokes responses like the Middle East. That was the case in the Morning Edition series, The Mideast, A Century of Conflict. NPR received hundreds of calls and emails. Here's a sampling. Malcolm Fleming, professor emeritus at Indiana University, complained about the description of Palestine as a backwater in the first installment of the series. He wrote, "I can't think of a more demeaning label. In contrast, you refer to Jews' aspirations to return to their ancient land." Dr. Jessica Nuttig-Zitter was disappointed with the series. She wrote, "The assertion that most Palestinians left in fear of Israeli reprisal is only one opinion among many. Your tacit suggestion that this represents thinking among most Israeli scholars is dangerous and untrue." Zitter also complained, "You liken the Jewish underground to terrorist thugs, describing the bombing and killing of many at the King David Hotel, but did not mention the warnings that were given to the British to evacuate the hotel prior to the bombings." Ben Velsher of San Diego and other writers said there were errors of omission. Velsher writes, "NPR states that after the War of Independence, Israel ended up with 78% of the total area as compared to 55% allocated to it by the UN resolution on partition. NPR does not state that the remaining 22% were taken by Jordan and Egypt, nor does it state that these countries did not create an independent Palestinian state in these territories. One is left with the impression that Israel is the sole aggressor in this conflict." Stephen De Niro, assistant professor in the Middle East School of General Studies at Philadelphia University, wrote, "While the Israeli Jews are surely to blame for participating in the destruction of Arab Palestine, the Jordanians and Egyptians also participated in its destruction and must share some of the blame as well." Fran Holmes sent this email. "From my perspective, U.S. journalism is generally so pro-Israel that it is very difficult to understand this conflict and why it is taking so long to resolve. Understanding the facts from the Palestinian perspective in no way means support for the terrorists there, but it is invaluable to see the situation through the eyes of the hard-working Palestinian people." John Kelleher of Brooklyn, New York, liked the series. He writes, "Thanks for providing a sorely needed context for this ongoing story. The history is deep and complex, and I commend you for devoting the time and research necessary to educate our sometimes contextually deprived culture on this conflict. Since our nation appears headed toward another venture to militarily conquer and transform Iraq, perhaps a similar history of U.S. nation-building might be considered." From Blue Springs, Missouri, Andrew Kerber said he liked the series too, but he adds, "The only trouble is you started the history a few thousand years too late. The conflict between those cultures dates back to the time of Abraham. As a friend of mine once said, the history of conflict between Jews and Arabs started like this. There once was a man named Abraham. He had two sons." The entire series, historic photographs, a timeline, and other background is available at npr.org.